You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tuesday, September 30th, 2025, we're Grant and Danny live on The Fan from our Half Street studios in the Navy Yard. We will take you all the way up to 6:30 tonight. What a day in sports. Major League Baseball's postseason is underway. Speaking of baseball, we're a day away from the introduction of the brand new president of baseball ops for the Nationals. You'll hear the press conference right here on 106.7 The Fan tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., Capitals, Wizards getting ready to inaugurate new seasons. Things are going swimmingly. Danny, what's up?
We're getting ready for some new seasons, man, while we're in the throes of the football season. And little personal news to start the show. I tweaked my knee last night. It's something. What I plan on doing is being vaguely day-to-day, but for weeks at a time. And I'll hint that everything's fine and then not go for a show or two. And then we'll talk about the return to show, and then we'll ramp up, but then there'll be a day off in there, cryptic press conferences, a lot of misdirection as to the status of my right knee, which I tweaked last night playing hoops.
I don't want you to miss anything in your return to radio.
Yeah, we don't miss any milestones. We don't miss any steps.
Don't miss a step.
Yeah.
I'm going to predict you miss two shows, but then the third show from the injury, you're back. For that one,
we'll have a report before the show from Ryan Clary via socials or whatever. Like, I'm insider Ryan Clary, and this is what's going to happen. We think Danny's coming back, and that's probably how it'll go. But I'm day to day, but I'll be that way for a while.
4 o'clock today, in about 2 hours, ahead of the Beltway Blitz, we're giving away a pair of tickets to the Caps opener. They open the season a week from tomorrow, October 8th, against the Boston Bruins. If you want tickets in the good seats, we got them for you on 106.7 The Fan. So make sure you are listening at 4 o'clock today right here on G&D. And then at 5 o'clock, the bill is due.
Bill.
Ja'Cory Kroski, bill season. Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt on the program every Tuesday at 5 for the remainder of the football season. We kicked off our weekly installments with him last week and interview with him number 2 this week, coming off of another impressive performance and limited workload. It's time to start ramping him up a little
bit. Let's turn that fader up.
I don't know if it's the Big 12 or the NFL, but he's averaging 6 yards per carry. So whenever you are ready, Cliff Kingsbury, a little bit more of Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt would be nice. Major League Baseball playoffs, I mentioned, are underway. The Tigers lead the Guardians 1-0 there in the middle innings in that game. And then a triple header from this afternoon on when this one ends. You've got the Padres and the Cubs, which I think is my favorite wild card series. I'm rooting for San Diego. Chicago's probably my second favorite team to root for in the NL.
Mm.
So between those two, it's going to get complicated for me. But Padres have a great bullpen. Cubs have an awesome lineup. That's going to be fun. That game's at Wrigley today. And then the Red Sox play the Yankees tonight at 6 Eastern, renewing the old rivalry in the American League East. New York was much hotter down the stretch, but they played a softer schedule. Boston throwing lefty Garrett Crochet, their ace on the mound against Max Fried, two of the best southpaws in baseball in game one. And then at 9 East time tonight, a little David versus Goliath situation. The Reds, who shouldn't be here, aren't that good, but got in somehow. because the Mets just didn't want to be in the playoffs.
Just stunning. I think I saw the numbers. I'll probably butcher some of them. Like, nobody hit 270. Nobody hit 30 homers. Nobody had an ERA under like a reasonable league average type number. They're just a very pedestrian OK team with a payroll one-third of the Mets who are at home watching.
Fourth and final game today on the baseball calendar. The Reds at the Dodgers, Chavez Ravine in Los Angeles, 9 East time first pitch in that one. So doesn't get a whole lot better than October baseball. Not quite October yet, but we're kicking it off on September 30th.
Knocking on the door, yeah.
And speaking of baseball, really quickly before we get to football, can I shout out Dalen Lyle? My guy, your guy, not our Dalen. It's the Dalen.
We're in the Lyle pile.
Not Danny's or Grant's. It's our Dalen Lyle.
Ours.
The player of the month in the National League.
That's not a day. It's not a week. That's a month.
Rookie of the month, but also player of the month in the entire NL. What a finish to his season. It's Tuesday on Grant and Danny, which means Survivor Tuesday on the Fan. So Survivor Tuesday is your opportunity to kick a player to the curb and give a player immunity. You're going to vote at facebook.com/Grant and Danny. Send a player home. Give a player immunity going into week 5. So far, you guys have kicked kicker Matt Gay off the island. You've told Marshawn Lattimore to pack his bags. And because of an injury, you've booted Austin Eckler as well through 3 football games. Who gets booted now after a really disappointing defensive performance in Atlanta? My guess is someone on that side of the ball. By the way, luckily for him, Bobby Wagner, the future Hall of Famer, is immune this week because of his banner performance against the Raiders last week. Again, facebook.com/Grant and Danny to vote.
Your remaining players, Jaden Daniels on offense, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, Terry McLaurin, Deebo Samuel, Zach Ertz, Laremy Tunsil, and Josh Connerly Jr.
I would think all of those guys are safe, barring you guys just being insane and saying, well, Jaden hasn't played in 2 weeks, so we're eliminating him right before he comes back. I don't think that's going to happen or should happen.
Or McLaurin, same type of deal, right?
Yeah, I guess so, if you worry about the quad or whatever. My guess is Bullseye is going to be on that defense this week.
That's where I'm headed. Javon Kinlaw, Daron Payne, Dorrance Armstrong, Bobby Wagner, who is immune, Frankie Louvu, Trey Amos, and Quan Martin are your defensive players.
Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Quan Martin could be in trouble.
Paging Mr. Martin.
This could be a rough one. The safeties struggled. Jay Gruden came on the show yesterday, said that was the position group he thought that had the roughest day. I thought Quan Martin was smack dab in the middle of that, but it's not my vote. I only get one. It's not Danny's vote. You guys vote. Facebook.com/Grant and Danny. Commander Survivor. We'll tell you in our final segment after 6 o'clock tonight who is getting sent home today. Last night, Monday Night Football. Did you get to watch some of the games while you were hurting your knee playing basketball?
I did indeed, yes.
Good. The schedule going in set up for 2 kind of gross football games, if we're being honest. The 0-3 Jets and the 0-3 Dolphins. Neither team seems to be going anywhere with any pace. And then the Bengals, who don't have Joe Burrow and now have Jake Browning, who is very backup-y, against a good Denver Broncos defense. It felt like that was going to be a boa constrictor, just eventually
matter
take the air out of the Bengals, little by little, death by paper cut game. And predictably, that's exactly what we got. So the Dolphins-Jets game, gruesome injury for Tyreek Hill. Thinking about him, that's a long recovery ahead for a dislocated knee, bunch of torn ligaments. Is basically the 90-degree angle of his leg.
Why'd I mean, just awful.
Please don't show me a replay, ESPN.
Never.
I don't need to see that. But they did. And then the Bengals-Broncos game, which was actually way less competitive, 28-3. That was not a good product for 2 games, 4 teams, under the bright lights of primetime Monday Night Football last night for the NFL. And you're getting more of these games, right? We had a 26-0 Texans win over the Titans. I thought the Lions and Browns, going back and watching the condensed tape of that game, 34-10 Detroit was like ugly. There's just more early season bad football. Last week, the Falcons against the Panthers didn't look like they were ready for the year to start in week 3. The Panthers this week against the Patriots put up 13 points, some of them in garbage time. I think this is a referendum on the lack of preseason. I'm not really sure. But am I crazy, or is there just more visually bad football right now?
No, I've been arguing it for years. This is not just a recent thing within the last couple of seasons where guys played less in the preseason. this is a byproduct of CBA negotiations. Owners were all too happy to say, this doesn't cost us anything, fine. Practice as little or as much as you want. So players were really adamant. It's one of the things that they fought for. Multiple CBAs over the years, no two-a-days, no extended training camp, no hitting in May, no hitting in March, no hitting in OTAs or this, that, and the other. And they were adamant about that, right? Trying to get in shape year-round, but not putting their bodies through it, which I understand. I understand their perspective. But the owners don't care. As long as everyone's on the same playing field, it doesn't cost them any money, they're happy to oblige. They care about is the revenue share, and we want more of the TV money, and give us more of the gate receipts, and more of this, that, and the other. Players were fighting for other stuff. So this has been happening for a long time. Early season football, and football in general, I think has gone down in with free agency and the way players change teams all the time, some of the injuries. This has sort of been happening for a long while, whereas
you don't think the number one issue is the lack of action in the summer?
I think it's one of the huge factors. But you go back to the days of old, in the 80s and 90s, where it was Joe Gibbs, Bill Parcells, for example. The same group of guys pretty much went up against each other every year. Part of the same system, the same, right?
Helps.
Yeah, and now everything's different, which I understand.
But I'm not comparing it to 1987 or 1996. From my time on the beat, 2010 to 2013, it looks worse. From 5 years ago, early in the season, it looks worse. Is what you're suggesting is a factor one of them? Of course. There's no doubt. I mean, player movement and just, you know, getting on the same page. Marshawn Lattimore is in his first full year because of the injury last year in a new system, and we're crushing him for his performance. 3 years from now, if he's still here, you know, playing at corner, he's a lot more comfortable with Joe Witt. Like, that happens at every position with every guy that signs and is traded. I get all that. But I just think it's common sense to me that the less minutes spent practicing football all summer long, the less ready you are.
Yeah, to me,
and the less minutes playing in a football game, the less ready you are, and that's the big thing. But my bigger question to you, Danny, is, will this ever even matter? Like, we talk about this as if it's an issue for the NFL, that the product has diminished some or that the games aren't quite as excellent as they were, but they're just chugging along printing cash.
Yeah, breaking ratings records every week. You get the PR email from Fox or from CBS tell you this is the most watched weekend ever, the most watched primetime ever, the most watched Thursday night ever. Yeah, there's nothing slowing this train down.
Will there ever be a time where the quality of the product either becomes bad enough that it matters, or even if it's just this level where people go, you know what, Jets, Dolphins, and Bengals, Broncos tonight, I've had enough standalone games this week. I don't need to watch this. Like, my answer to that is no, as someone who's as guilty as anyone. I'm slapping the elbow asking for more. You know, let's go. Let's do this thing. I get 20 of these, right? I need my 18 weeks of football. Every minute missed is a crime. I don't want to do anything on a Monday, a Thursday, a Sunday, or some Saturdays in the winter. But I'm crazy. Do you think that this ever ends up hurting the league?
The hurt is relative. In other words, it's still going to be the most watched thing. You know, so in that sense, no. Like, it will chug along the gambling, the fantasy, the different ways to gamble, the different elements, the different rooting interests, etc. The, you know, Madden pull, like the same way that, you know, soccer's experienced such a huge boom in terms of not people caring about the MLS as much, but because my kid plays FIFA or whatever, he knows Ronaldo or knows all these guys on Manchester City and that sort of stuff because he plays them as on the video game. That's part of it too. It's not going anywhere. For TV purposes, it will not hurt the league. There may be the occasional drop-off.
I'm just talking numbers. That's all. I know that they're going to keep printing money. The league owns Sundays. It is the healthiest thing on the planet, and there's nothing better you can do. If you have money, Josh Harris, Mitch Rails, whoever, buy an NFL team. It's better than real estate.
Yeah, you just sit there, and it doubles every 10 years.
Just watch it compound on itself, yeah. Right? I'm not asking that. What I'm saying is, will we ever see the TV numbers dissipate
and
if
that's
the
what
product
I'm talking about.
Gets
yeah.
worse?
The growth will slow. There's a moment of, you never say never, but there'll be a moment of diminishing return where a couple people go, you know what? I'm not watching this Bengals blowout without, why am I blanking on the quarterback? It's not Carson Palmer. Who's the quarterback? Joe Burrow. This is worthless. They're terrible. They're getting throttled by Denver. The game's over. I'll tune out. You might see a little bit of attrition, but nothing will really slow it down.
Carson Palmer is amazing, by the way. Your brain just went back 14 years.
Because
really,
he was hurt all the time.
Right. I mean, what's the difference between the
Seriously,
two
at this, point,
at this
yeah.
juncture? Poor Joe Burrow might be a three-time comeback player of the year award winner.
That, something you don't you want to be, but you also don't want to be.
Oh, you definitely don't want to be a three-time comeback player of the year award winner, I don't think, which he might be able to win if he stays healthy next year at this point. But yeah, I know that I'm part of the problem because there will never be a game on, whether it's at 9:30 in the morning in Ireland or whether it's on Monday night in Miami, Florida, that I'm not going to watch. Where are you on that scale? Are there matchups, some of these like gross Thursday night games later in the year where it's like 3-7 versus 4-6 or something? Are there times where you ever go, I'll watch a couple of plays, but this is in no way a priority for me, and if I don't watch any of it, that's fine.
How do I quantify that? Like, there are games I'm watching out of obligation where I'm not, I can tell you I'm not excited last night to watch the remnants, the second half of that Den versus Cincinnati game.
See, I was so pumped.
I'm not into it.
I've got bets on FanDuel.
Yeah, ready for that game to end.
I'm like putting in live bets as it's going. It's just so precious. This isn't hockey or basketball with 82 or baseball with 162. We get 17 of these per team. I do owe Danny a congratulations, though, guys. And I'm very sorry. I hope you will accept my apology.
Oh, no.
This is not a bit. This is not shtick. I did not acknowledge this yesterday, and I made a note to, and as a friend and as a coworker, I am a jerk. So, first of all, congratulations. Can I hear it for Danny Ruye?
What? What did I do?
After years of complaining, after years of being bothered by the fact that none of the halftime shows are for you.
Oh, you
finally,
son of a...
You get a halftime show just for you.
Unbelievable.
Bad Bunny, ladies and gentlemen.
Unbelievable.
Handpicked by Danny Ruye to perform at Super Bowl 60.
So, I actually thought this was real. And I was like, oh, this actually sounds fun and exciting.
I thought he's being nice to me.
Yeah, you baited and switched. No to that. Wrong. Incorrect. Whoever turned it in, tear it up and turn it in again.
I saw a stat. Is this right? Most downloaded person on like Spotify or whatever this year? More than Taylor Swift? Is that possible? I guess globally, maybe it is possible. I know why they're doing it. They're doing it for the same reason that ESPN hires a Katie Feeney as their new Instagram Reels person, the same reason the Commanders have random YouTube and Instagram influencers out in the press box to post videos. It's just a grab for some eyeballs and some clicks. But Bad Bunny, man, I thought about you. You finally got the halftime show you've always wanted.
I don't know a single one of his songs. Don't plan on learning. I cannot wait to not watch and not pay attention to it. So you did me a favor. You gave me something to do during halftime. I don't have to run back and see anybody that's relevant to me in any way.
You will watch it, I bet. You're at a Super Bowl party or you're at your house and people are over. Are you going to like Backstreet Boys this thing in sixth grade? La 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 la, hands in your ears.
But it won't be a priority. So I'm sure it'll be on. And
you're gonna go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
You're gonna put some more wings on your plate.
Right. Deal with it. I'm sure the kids will need something. The baby will be screaming because it's a baby.
You're not a little bit intrigued?
Zero. Zero interest in this person. I found out way after the fact, by the way, like, did you know the guy in Happy Gilmore is Bad Bunny? I'm like, who is that? And then I found out, like, dude, that's Benny. I'm like, who is that? No, it's the same person. All of it sucks. I have no interest in him at all. I couldn't name a single one of his songs. I don't care. Again, it's another year with another huge array of artists that would be so awesome that they were like, nah. And I understand the NFL maybe has asked in the past, like, Jay-Z will program the halftime show, but he won't do it himself. Like, that'd be great, but I don't know, man.
I just wanted to grind your gears a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think we did that successfully, so we can keep it moving. But there will be a year, Danny. It's not this year, and it hasn't been in a lot of years. Although we did get the several rappers thrown together.
Which was incredible.
That was amazing with Snoop and Eminem. That was for us. That was a lot of fun. But one of these years, they're going to do a halftime show. We can come in here and high-five and say, we got a few months to look forward to this.
Because they're capable of it. And that's the part that bothers me
but
so
they
much is they've done
to.
It. Yeah,
it's just going to be the time where they decide, you know what, maybe we're worse off for this, but let's take care of the people that are already locked in on the game. The halftime show has just become an opportunity for them to broaden the scope. They've got the little circle, me, you, and tens of millions of people that are going to watch the game, and whoever's performing, someone we care about, someone we don't, lyrics we know, lyrics we don't, we're going to watch one way or the other. They're trying to get the people that have no interest in the game now to sit there at a party waiting for Bad Bunny until halftime. And they did it again.
So is there no crossover among football fans and Bad Bunny?
I'm sure there is.
Like it seems like
You don't think there's a lot of people that like both? I mean, he's immensely popular.
Yeah, that's my thought. So, like, when they're like, Katy Perry, I can't imagine your regular football fan, like, sitting down, chips and dip, feet up on a Sunday, checking DFS, fantasy teams, all their bets, going, I want to hear Eye of the Tiger or Lion Tiger, whatever that
stupid thing is. Certainly not Eye of the Tiger.
That's Survivor.
You're looking for Survivor.
Yeah, what's the name of that dumb song?
I got
the Eye of the Tiger. Listen to me roar.
Let's call it Tiger.
Whatever. I cannot imagine someone's like, yes. See, that's for a different crowd.
Sure. This is a larger percentage. The Venn diagram, the two circle intersection is larger with Bad Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
But I would still think a lot of that audience is, it's huge in America as well, but like global. And people outside of the States, presumably, that don't watch a lot of football. I would think a huge portion of his audience. Those people are going to now watch the game.
Because they're very excited. See Bad Bunny.
But I'm just happy for you, mostly. Grant and Danny on the Fan. As soon as we return, you will not believe who is on the call of the Commanders game this weekend. You just won't. And you need to know it. And luckily, I'm here for you. I'm going to tell you as soon as we return. Plus, what changes might the Commanders make this week? Do they need to do something at corner? Could Bobby Wagner see a little less playing time? Is that even something that should be on the table? This is The Fan.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And here come the Lions for the second half. Ryan, Lions in the Super Bowl. See what I did there? Grant and Danny on the Fan. Bad Bunny, your Super Bowl halftime performer. Now, I don't speak Spanish. We're letting the clean description in this song do a lot of heavy
lifting. It's a lot of work for us. We're hoping.
Does anyone know? Like, how do we know if he just said something we can't hear?
My Spanish isn't great. It's been a while. But one universal word is true in both English and Spanish, and that's no. That's in both. That's the same. So I know that word.
I think the halftime show will actually be legit good. Here's my thoughts on this. This dude is, for some reason, like in the WWE occasionally, And when he's done matches, they've been incredible. Like, everything he's done, he's able to do it at a high level. So I'll bet you there's fireworks and there's dramatics and there's ropes he's, you know, swinging from. And I just think the show itself will be awesome. I don't know anything about him. I wouldn't recognize him if he was sitting on your lap right now, Danny. I'd be like, why is there a guy sitting on your lap?
So the only reason I know who he is now is from Happy Gilmore 2.
I didn't know it was him.
I had no idea. I was like,
yes.
I'd never seen that guy before. He seems kind of tall. And for some reason, it seems to be like I'm supposed to know who this person is. It felt like
he was the caddy.
Yeah. He's the guy, the waiter initially that gets fired, and then he's the caddy. I don't know how to explain this, but like they put him over really early in the movie. Like, I'm supposed to care about this guy instead of like Sandler just going over to talk to the head waiter, like, hey, you're being mean to this guy. I was supposed to care about him. I didn't know why. And then I found out, no, that's the same dude after the fact.
Danny, the Commanders play the Chargers in LA this weekend.
Uh-huh.
They're trying to get to 3-2 on the season. They got a big one. You know that the national telecast is going to be the A-team again on Fox. We got Kevin Burkhardt, Tom Brady, Aaron Andrews, Tom Rinaldi trying to get you to cry, running four deep in the broadcast booth. It's going to be a good time.
By the way, you sleep on the real A-team, which was the best show back in the day.
I actually do. I don't have any file at all.
Colonel Hannibal Smith, B.A. Baracus, Lieutenant Templeton Peck, the Face Man, and Howling Mad Murdoch, convicted of a crime they didn't commit, and they escaped to the LA Underground.
Which, because of what you just said, I'm now wondering if I'm wrong.
Mr. T.
Yeah, Mr. T from the A-team.
So what they would do is they'd go from town to town, but all in and around Los Angeles mostly, and help little local townspeople out with like their problem. So remember the movie Roadhouse?
So that's the Buttercream Gang.
Yeah, but
I'm a big Buttercream
Gang
guy.
More explosions and firearms in this one. But like, remember Roadhouse, right? Where there's the local guy who's a bad dude, and he's like ruining everything for the townspeople, and you know, and Dalton shows up to try to help. It was basically like that, but every week. They'd have episodes, and they'd go to a different place, and B.A. was afraid to fly, so they had to trick him to get on the plane. Back to you.
Do you remember the Buttercream Gang?
No.
It's like these
unequivocally
teenage boys who were in this club of good doing, where they would like go around and help all the old people cross the street and get their groceries and check on people in the neighborhood. It was like a movie series. I think it may be just a one-off movie that was put out, I think, by like a church or something.
Okay.
But when I was a little kid, I watched the Buttercream Gang.
The Buttercream Gang.
And one of the leaders of the group is Pete. This guy's name was Pete.
Mm-hmm.
And he leaves because he, you know, becomes a 18-year-old or whatever he was. And he's got like family issues with the parents or something. So he moves to Chicago with like whoever moved to Chicago. But he joins a gang.
Oh, no.
And in the movie, the gang, he just wears like this bandana that's tied behind his back with like a t-shirt all the time. And the gang is doing things like throwing glass bottles and breaking them on train tracks. And like really terrible
stuff. Just gang stuff, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Standard
issue. You know, what the Chicago gangs do.
Right.
It's up to some real tomfoolery. He literally goes into a grocery store one time. This is not a joke. This seriously happened with Pete and the Buttercream Gang. And he shoplifted.
This is Pete who did this?
Pete did this.
Our beloved Pete.
So even
formerly of the Buttercream Gang is now a hardened criminal.
When he comes back to town, like the old guy who's run this shop for years and all the kids come in and say, hey, Mr. Rouillet, how you doing? He's like, hey there, need a cold beverage? You know, whatever. Pete steals from him.
Come on.
And that's how you know Pete has lost
his
way.
Pete has backslid.
But they try so hard, and they push, and they push, and they push. And I don't want to give it away in case someone checks out the Buttercream Gang, but I'm going to tell you they break through and get Pete back.
Pete comes back?
It takes a while.
Nice!
Yeah. So the Commanders play the Chargers this weekend. I don't know if we were talking about that or not. Do you have any idea who's on the radio broadcast of this game? So it's a national Sports USA radio thing. I think it's for the troops. I'm not exactly sure what Sports USA radio is.
Okay.
I'm going to assume there's a military involvement here. Darius, go ahead and give me a drum roll for the color commentator. Former Washington football team and Commanders great, Ron Rivera. In the booth, on the call,
what?
With Larry Kahn of this broadcast. Yeah, he is your commentator on the radio nationally for Commanders Chargers in LA.
Is he still the GM or whatever of the college football program?
Yeah, he's the GM of the Cal Bears.
Hey, Granddaddy, how you doing?
That feels like him. Having a job that should take a lot of attention and time and not doing it.
Do not even mention that.
What, is his other gig?
Yeah.
I mean, good for him. He's a hard worker. He could be retired. He's made millions of dollars.
Yeah, seriously.
He's the general manager for Cal, who I think...
still has a football team.
Trying to connect the dots on the football field. trying to lead recruiting and land some guys in the portal probably as we speak, but also on the call of Commanders Chargers.
Yeah, this is not unlike I want to be the coach and the GM, but I can't be bothered to go to the Senior Bowl. Can't do that. I'll hear about it from my scouts.
Do not even mention that.
You did that, dude, not me. You want time off, do one of the jobs.
You know what I haven't heard in a while? Is Ron Rivera's hit single.
I need it.
Shots. But it's not shots.
Uh-uh.
Just close to shots. With Ron Rivera, though, it's a little bit different.
Yeah. It's been too long, man.
I miss this. I actually want to bring him back just so we can play this.
I really do.
You guys really want to go there, don't you? We get to play this all the time.
Guys.
What's funny about this song?
Guys.
Someone said, can you make up a song about what you like to draft in the early rounds? And he said, just guys. It's just a bunch of guys. Just Jags.
You guys really want to go.
And he said, we'll make up a song about it. And this is what it came up with. There's a chance Forbes is there.
We might be able to snag him. I bet you will be there, Coach.
Ron Rivera on the call in the booth for the Commanders and the Chargers this weekend. Could be some changes coming. I've seen some speculation maybe Washington should tweak the corner position. I'm not ready to do that yet. I just don't think they have a better option at the moment. And I don't think the Lattimore struggles, which have been as bad as they're being made out to be. Generally speaking, when it's going poorly and you become the punching bag, the vitriol is very, very loud. It gets turned up to 11. And again, people hear that and they're like, are you kidding me? You think he's been good? Nope, that's not what I'm saying. I think he, early on in what is now his first healthy full season in this defense, has struggled. I also think some of his worst plays, like the 43-yarder that he gave up to Drake London, have a lot to do with a lot of things outside of him. He's squatting on an out route. Double move gets him. There's no pass rush. The quarterback, Michael Penix, is climbing a very clean pocket, had all day to throw. Most corners in the league are getting beat in that situation. But this past weekend, Danny, he was worst in the NFL at the yards given up per play on the field as a corner in coverage, and it has not been pretty. But to bench him, you would be saying you're moving Mikey Sanristil back outside. You're playing Noah Igbinoghene in the nickel and saying that you're a lot better off there. And then Lattimore just coming in like a pinch hitter and sequences for a play here or a play there. Generally, corner play doesn't get better in those situations. Think Benjamin St. Juice.
Yeah.
After he got benched, he would come in and it just exacerbated the issue. So I'm not making that change yet. I know a lot of people want to, though.
I understand the sentiment. My point is, I'm with you in the sense that it's not as if there's some great corner that's just being, you know, held out by some malicious coach or something like that, waiting in the wings, right? Like some guy's on the wrong side of Joe Witt or the secondary coach or whatever. There's no great answer coming out of the bullpen. I mean, to me, Noah Igbinoghene is who he is. He's a third or fourth corner on an okay team, and he did that last year and ended up playing more than you'd want, and he'll probably end up doing that this year. I just can't watch it anymore. Like, to me, it is as bad as everyone's saying. Like, I'm the everyone. I think it's a disaster. Like, they still think he can do it, and they're putting him in spots to do things that he could do 5 years ago, and everybody else on the opposition is going, thank God they're doing that. So thank God we get that matchup.
To me, a disaster was Michael Davis early last year before he got benched, where you just watch him and you go, this guy cannot cover people in this league. And at times, even though St. Juiced, I thought, was in coverage that was tight and was too handsy and physical and got flagged a lot, he's more along the lines of what Lattimore has been. But like a disaster is, okay, this can't work. Every play you're out there, you're a liability. And that is the perception or what people are saying. I don't think that's quite been the reality. You're talking about 11 completions on Lattimore at this point through like four games of football being out there for an average of 60 snaps or whatever that looks like. But I certainly understand the frustration, and I think it's warranted. The other of the questions has been, if they wanted to make a change on defense, could you see Bobby Wagner, who's a future Hall of Famer, who's elite at stuffing the run downhill right at him, as long as he doesn't have to run side to side, he's still awesome, as good as there is in the NFL. But teams are getting to Washington now by making him run and getting him matched up with backs and tight ends. Could there be, instead of 100% of snaps every single game for Wagner, you know, just a few snaps where he's not on the field to keep him fresher, to help him out at 35 years old? Dan Quinn was actually talked about this and was asked about this in his press conference yesterday, the idea of maybe playing Wagner a little bit less. Here's what he had to say out in Ashburn.
We discussed a lot of the guys, but specifically not to a matchup to, you know, that we're regarding with him. Like I said, in, I think you're probably talking about the long swing that went, you know, for a long play. That could have been a matchup that could have happened on other plays as well. And so I think, you know, where do you take the lesson from it when you're going through traffic? You take the air out of it. So I think Bobby would be the first to tell you, technique is first, you know. And so if you get into that first, you know, that can, you know, play through a matchup to go, okay, he's not outside man-to-man, you know, by himself on somebody in a tough matchup. So you try to mitigate those things with he and any of the guys as best you can. But, you know, also give credit to Atlanta. You know, like, the guy also made a fantastic play. I couldn't have been more impressed by Jeremy's speed on that particular play. It would have been nice to hold them to a field goal into that space just to demonstrate how he expressed how hard he'll play. He was absolutely flying.
Yeah, Reeves hit 22.6 miles per hour to make that tackle, which is faster than any ball carrier who's held the ball in his hands has run at any point this season, which is pretty amazing. But Quinn chose not to really address the question from Standing about the possibility of Wagner not playing as much on obvious passing downs or something. Chose to kind of very specifically look at that one play where he got beat. Next, little deal or big deal for some of the NFL teams that have gotten off to slow starts? Are they in a little bit of trouble or big trouble? We'll get into that next on The Fan.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. You can watch us on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. You can always listen to the show coast to coast via the always free Odyssey app. Of course, our flagship 106.7 all over D.C. If you're in the car, make sure you tune us in throughout this football season, breaking down the Commanders in the NFL. more than anybody else. We've got Caps tickets today at 4, and we've got Jacory Kroski Merritt. We're paying the bill at 5 o'clock. Looking forward to that on G&D today. All right, little trouble or big trouble? I want to go through some NFL teams with you here that are off to precarious starts to their season, and I want to see if you would file them into one of these two categories. So we'll start with the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are not only struggling to a 1-3 record in the AFC North, two games back of Pittsburgh already, but Lamar Jackson left with an injury in Kansas City and is doubtful to play as of right now this weekend for them as they take on the Houston Texans. They could be 1-4 through 5. They're also awful statistically defensively.
Yep.
Are the Ravens in a little bit of trouble or big trouble?
Big trouble. They're banged up, too. They're really hurt. They had a number of guys leave besides Lamar Jackson this past game. You look at their injured reserve list, and next thing you know, they have a really difficult schedule. They've dropped a couple of games they shouldn't have. That collapse against Buffalo is really going to come back to haunt them. They could be 2-2, probably should be. Instead, their only win, I think, is over Cleveland at this point, and they have not been themselves. Again, defensively, I'm stunned that they're this bad. I thought they'd be okay with some opportunistic playmaking, but they are in trouble because they're really banged up.
I don't get the fall off defensively. They're 25th right now in yards per play, and they're actually second to last, 31st in yards per game. They're 23rd against the run. They're 19th against the pass. They have picked off one pass all season, 29th in that category. And in pressure and sacks, Danny, it's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
They're second to last, 31st out of 32 teams. They get a sack on 2.5% of the opposing snaps this season. So it's been ugly for them defensively. I agree with you. I think they're in big trouble. Also, Lamar being hurt stings. You don't know with a soft tissue injury for a running quarterback. We just saw, you know, the knee with Jaden kind of lingering for a couple of weeks. That can be a game or two longer sometimes than you want it to be. And sneaky, this is low-key, but Lamar was not playing well anyway. He's a multi-time MVP, could have easily won a third MVP award last year over Josh Allen. He's been great for so long, but right now, this moment, just in a vacuum looking at it this season, I don't think he's played well. And particularly in the pocket, he's really struggled. So I think they're in big trouble. All right, let's go to the Houston Texans. They play the Ravens this week, so a chance for them to possibly get a win against a beleaguered, injury-riddled team. Houston's coming off of a huge shutout, 26-0. They beat the Titans, but if you watched any of that game, it took them a while to get going.
Yeah.
It was way closer for way longer than it probably should have been. Before that win, Houston had lost to the Rams, the Bucks, and the Jaguars. So they have played three pretty good teams. C.J. Stroud still looks more like he did in his sophomore slump last year than his freshman breakout when he had one of the great rookie years ever. Are the Texans in a little bit of trouble or big trouble?
I still say little. So they only lost, there are three games they lost, and they lost them. I'm not telling you that they won those games. They clearly lost them. But they're one-score games where they haven't quite found their stride, right? A low-scoring rock fight in week one, you almost kind of throw that result out. But a one-point loss at Tampa, cardiac Tampa. A one-score game against Jacksonville. The game was a good defensive rock fight. And their schedule is arduous, but they may be playing Baltimore at the right time. So all of a sudden, they could be 2-3. Then a bye week, maybe get back to the drawing board. But it's Seattle, San Fran, Denver, Jacksonville again. They still got Buffalo, the Colts, the Chiefs on their schedule. It's not an easy road for Houston. This was one of the reasons I did not pick them to win the division before the season. I thought the schedule would be really difficult, not knowing they'd start 0-3, and their offense hasn't really gotten going yet. So I'm still saying a little bit of trouble, but they're knocking on the door of big trouble in the next room.
I've got the Texans in the big trouble category. Their offense still looks broken. That's kind of where I'm going to leave it, right? With C.J. Stroud, year one level for him was top 10 in the league mm-hmm. trajectory. It's been nothing like that ever since. So that's the first issue. They've also had multiple OCs. They blew out Bobby Slowick after last year. They've changed coordinators and play callers. The result is no different. They had 6 points through three quarters against the Titans. They led them 6-0. This is a really bad, like a lot of people could get fired kind of Titans situation as they've fallen to 0-4. Their defense will give them a chance. I agree with you there. But in that division, Jacksonville's better than we thought. Indianapolis is better than we thought. You mentioned, you know, you've got two teams now that are 3-1 that both look like the arrow's trending up. So I'm going to say the Texans are actually in big trouble. How about the team Washington plays this weekend? The LA Chargers started the season 3-0. They had a layup opportunity to get to 4-0 against the Giants on the road. And despite it being an early game for them as a West Coast team, everything else seemed to be going their way before kickoff. And then they go out and stub their toe. They drop a 21-18 game to the Giants, even though their defense was dominant in the performance. And while they lost that game, Joe Alt is lost for several weeks with a high ankle sprain. So they're now without two all-pro caliber tackles.
I'm still putting them in a little bit of trouble category. They could absolutely 100% be 5-1 through six games with a winnable game against Washington coming up. We'll be talking about that a lot, I'd imagine. And a game against Miami, who now is without Tyreek Hill. The injuries are significant. They're a real deal. It's going to hold them back from being a Super Bowl contender, because that might have been what they were with Slater and with Joe Alt. I don't think they are that anymore, but Justin Herbert has been splendid through 4 weeks. Gives them a chance to finish with a winning record.
Little bit of trouble. I actually feel okay about where they are. They've got a five-game stretch coming up here before they play Pittsburgh, where I think they'd be hard-pressed to go worse than 3-2, so track with me for a second.
Yep.
If they do that, they'd be 6-2 through 8 going into Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Vegas, like another area where they could stockpile a win or two. Next five, Washington at home this weekend, at Miami, very winnable. Colts game could be tough. Then they host the Vikings, and then they're at the Titans, which has to be a layup win. That'll be the easiest game on their schedule. So if they could go 3-2 in that five and get to 6-2, they're in a really good spot. Especially that, remember, the Chiefs got off to the slow start.
Yep.
They finally got their win to get going here, maybe after beating the Giants in an impressive fashion. The first time they've looked good against the Ravens to get to 2-2. All right, next, we do it every single Tuesday at 3 o'clock. Our fastest 16 minutes in the NFL, recapping all of the stories in action from the weekend. We've got you, Corey Kroski Merritt, on the show today at 5 o'clock. Don't miss it on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.